I'm not sure I could. They say time heals everything, but I'm still waiting. I'm through with doubt. There's nothing left for me to figure out. I've paid a price.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Monday, February 11th, 2008 edition of the American Awakening. I am your host, Michael Herzog, and I will be with you for the next 2 hours. And yes, I'm back. Well, I'll tell you what, last week was probably one of the worst sickness weeks I've ever had. I can only equate it to one other time that I had a really bad flu 10 or 12 years ago. I still have a very deep chest cold, so folks, so you have to bear with me. I'm a little bit foggy, but I'm here to do a show today. And I wanted to mention, as I'm sure most of you know, Ron Paul has made an announcement. He's still in the race, but he wants to make sure that he keeps his congressional seat. And so what I thought I would do this week is that we're most likely going to have a race that is going to see McCain running against Hillary Clinton, unless we can do something about it, folks. So what I'd like for you guys to do at some point during the next couple of days, if you can, go in to and Google the Clinton Chronicles and watch it again. Or you can go in and find it on my website at theamericanawakening.org. Because Wednesday, I have none other than Larry Nichols coming up, who worked in the Arkansas Development Finance Authority, or ADFA, when Bill and Hillary Clinton were governor of Arkansas. And he's going to pretty much just rip the curtain back from the Clintons and let us all know why we don't want to be voting for Hillary. But you want to invite your friends and neighbors into that one. And also, tomorrow I have Sergeant Ted Sampley coming up, and he's going to expose all the dirt on Senator John McCain. So it's very important that you guys call everybody you know and get them to listen tomorrow and Wednesday to the show. So anybody that is thinking about voting for either one of those two, either doo-doo or caca, they'll know the truth about what's going on. Now, shifting gears here a little bit, some of you may know, some of you may not know, that Edna Lane Brown's property was auctioned off last week, and that saddens me because I know that, think about it, folks. Edna Lane Brown are now spending 5 years in prison. All of their personal items, pictures, artifacts, jewelry, you know, everything that they owned has been stripped from them and auctioned off. And it's interesting that this is tax time. And I've had some requests. Actually, I've had a lot of requests, emails. I've had callers that have called into my show and asked me to have Jack and Margie Flynn come up, which is going to happen today. They're going to be up after the break, and we're going to talk about some of this stuff. As you know, I followed a lot of these trials, Wesley Snipes, Sherry Jackson, Irwin Schiff, Larkin Rose, Dick Simcannon, and all of these different tax remedies that are out there with with Dave Champion, Pete Hendrickson, Payman Matadeo, Winston Shroud, Sam Kennedy, Ralph Winterode. And I want to get Jack and Margie's take on some of this stuff. They have a website. It's www.citizensoftheamericanconstitution.org. I would invite you to go in and have a look around in their website. They have a lot of interesting articles. I was perusing around a little bit in there, well, yesterday and today. Let's see. Now, the other day I was listening to another show, and a talk show host had an attorney up that was talking about the nonsense of the all capital letters argument. This is why I'm really interested to have Jack and Margie up, because I want to get into some of this subject matter with them and get their take on it. So stick with me. I've got a really good show for you today. Be back in three. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live, but sick, from Phoenix, Arizona. Be right back.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Hey, everybody, this is James Martinez from the Cash Flow Show. I want to ask you one question and one question only. You're ready to change your life. Now, as you begin to think about that question, how many of you are swimming in credit card debt, tired of credit cards controlling your life, behind on your payments, struggling to make ends meet, all that, worried about your financial well-being? You're going to end that now. Enough is enough. This is hot. Are you ready to feel good now? That's right. Call our toll-free number and listen to our 12-minute overview. It explains who we are and what we do to end your credit card debt. Leave your name and number after the message and do it today. Call 888-213-7655. That's 888-213-7655. Freedom is a phone call away. Away. Away for you to feel good now. 888-213-7655. 888-213-7655.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened, what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains 6 DVDs that contain 10 different programs, 2 books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word, monastery, is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S.
All right, we're back, folks. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona, with my special guests, Jack and Margie Flynn. Jack and Margie, are you with me?
Yes, we are.
Good afternoon, Michael.
Hi, Mike.
How are you guys? How are you guys doing today?
We're good. How are you feeling?
Well, actually, I'm better. I have a deep chest cold, but I've been taking the advice of a lot of my listening audience and ingesting all kinds of different things, and I'm functioning, so that's a good thing. Anyway, listen, guys, for the sake of my new listening audience and for those of the, my listening audience out there who don't know who you are, I'd like for you to take a few minutes and give them an overview of who you are, what you do, how you came into doing what you do, if you would. And whichever one would like to take the floor, go ahead.
Why don't you start, Margie, and I'll finish it.
We defer to each other, but I will start. Just briefly, Jack and I have been, I would say, avid constitutionalists since we were youngsters, teenagers. We didn't meet until about 17 years ago, but we have followed a somewhat similar path in that neither one of us can tolerate injustice or fraud or dishonesty, especially from the so-called elected representatives who are in place to serve the people, theoretically. So over the past many years, we have independently, if you will, stumbled upon opportunities and circumstances by which we could claim and exercise our rights and hopefully help other people to do the same thing. I started out as a 14-year-old challenging a police officer who basically assaulted me by shoving me backwards at a football game, claiming that me and my friends were standing across the line and we weren't. And because I had parents who supported me and who were independent-minded as well, instead of getting in trouble when I went home and told them about it. My father took me right down to the police station to file a complaint with the chief of police, which resulted in the police officer being reprimanded, temporarily suspended, and apologizing to me. I learned early on that one has to speak up. If you don't know your rights, if you don't claim them and exercise them, then especially today, you don't have any.
Well, and I emphasize, Margie, especially today, I mean, because they are literally, they're turning this into an Orwellian police state, and I'm sure, just based upon what you've just said, that you have to be outraged, or are you as outraged as I? And I'm going to give you some examples here. You know, Edna Lane Brown, their property was just auctioned off last week. Wesley Snipes trial. Erwin Schiff, where the judge would not allow the Constitution to be read in his courtroom. Sherry Jackson, same premise. All of these people who walk into a courtroom, and here's where my dilemma comes in, and this is why I wanted to have you guys up on the show, is I've been looking at a lot of these different tax remedies, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to go into the taxes just for a little bit here. And I've looked on your website, and I've seen, you know, articles from Dave Champion and Pete Hendrickson and these non-taxpaying arguments. And my question to you guys, you've been in this particular movement obviously a long time. You said that you started at 14 years old, so it's been a while.
Mm-hmm.
My question to you is, do you find that by, you know, exuding your constitutional rights, does it do any good? I mean, are you getting people's attention? Because it seems to be, with these cases that I've been following, i.e., again, Sherry Jackson, Erwin Schiff, Larkin Rose, they don't even allow the Constitution to be talked about in the courtroom.
Well, I've seen the same thing, too, Mike. The way that Jack and I conduct ourselves may be somewhat different from the way these other people have, and it's my understanding that these folks have attorneys. And while I don't want to set about to castigate the entire profession, if you can call it that, of attorneys or lawyers, most of us who've had truck with them recognize that they don't do things necessarily in a way to benefit the citizens. And I have found very few attorneys who have a clue about the Constitution or really care about bringing it forward. They answer to a different agenda, if you will. And Jack and I do not hold with that at all. When we go to court, if we have to go to court, the very first thing we do is get the judge's obligation, if you will, his duty to his oath, established right away.
Mm-hmm.
We let these fellows know that we know they've taken an oath, whether it means anything to them or not. It's an oath. It's generally on file in the public record, and we expect them to abide by it in the performance of their official duties. That's how we operate. So very often, when we're in court, the judge knows what to expect because he knows that we're going to hold his feet to that fire of the Constitution. And should he stray, we're going to scream like stuck pigs. And it seems to be working for us because we are avid about it, and we know our rights, and we know the limitations that the Constitution imposes upon government offices. Most people forget that. They think the Constitution gives them rights. It doesn't. It upholds and affirms and secures, guarantees, whatever word you want to use, one's God-given inherent rights. But it does something else which is equally important, and that is it limits the authority that any government officer has to infringe upon those rights. And this is where the people have fallen down. The equation is upside down. They're acting as if the government is the master and the people are the servants, when it's entirely the opposite.
Let me get into Michael's questions. First of all, the name of our organization is Citizens of the American Constitution. That's also our website, citizensoftheamericanconstitution.org. Now, we deal strictly in the Constitution. We do have things on our website regarding various tax issues that we do not necessarily support. But as constitutionalists, we believe everyone has a free voice and should have his words broadcast to those who are interested. Now, the people that we put on the website regarding the IRS are fairly extensive. But again, Margie and I are strict constitutionalists.
Mm-hmm.
Our group in the past approximately eight and a half years has won over 300 cases in New Mexico courts. And until last June, we hadn't lost any. So 300 victories, clear victories, plus in New Mexico courts based upon the Constitution. The one loss came from one of our associates who really was traveling well, it's, I don't want to get into it because it will take a long time, but it was dealing with the traveling issue, the right to travel. And he had won every case he ever had as a defendant in New Mexico. Charges against him of no license, no registration, no insurance, no plates, all of those things were dropped and dismissed with prejudice. But every time he got stopped, he would have to go to court again, and of course he'd win the battle again. So he said, I'm going to stop this, and I'm going to be proactive and sue those in the state government who are depriving me of my rights. So he did that. He filed a case last year and sued approximately 36 or 37 individuals of the machinery of government of the state of New Mexico in their individual, private, and personal capacities. Well, as you can well imagine, this was not a state of New Mexico issue. This was a federal issue because we're talking of traveling, okay? Traveling means driving, in my opinion, driving, or not driving because that's their terminology, but traveling in an automobile without a license, without registration, without insurance, without anything. We either live in a free country or it's all nonsense. And Margie and I believe in freedom, and so did this fellow. His name is Tom Hyland. Maybe some of the people know of him. To make a long story short, it became a federal issue, not a state issue. Tom was not as well versed or as well presented in court as he thought he would be, and unfortunately he had his backside handed to him. And that was because he did not advocate for his constitutional rights as he should have. So one loss and over 300 victories is not bad for the Constitution. Yes, so we do definitely use the Constitution. In terms of taxes, we don't get into taxes because we believe that taxes are not only not allowed in the Constitution except under certain prescribed procedures, but they're also unlawful, okay? Mm-hmm. And when we look at our government, our so-called government, which is supposed to be a government representing the people, you know, as Lincoln said, all for and by the people, that's a joke. Lincoln was.
I know.
I don't have a lot of compassion for our leaders, any of them, starting with the very first one. Okay. None of these guys have done the right thing for the American people. None of them, not one. And the ones who tried, who were remotely tried, were removed or killed. Okay. So this country is a vast fraud, and it's been a vast fraud from the very beginning. And the American people haven't figured that out yet. Now, the American people, by and large, are very nice people, very kind people, very giving people. But they're not too aware of what's going on in their government, and they're not too aware about what's going on in the country, and they don't seem to care. Well, we give seminars all over the country, Michael. In the past 18 months, we've given probably 30 or more seminars everywhere. And we did one in Phoenix, I think, in November. And most people who come to our seminars are professional people. They're doctors. They're lawyers. They're dentists. They're stockbrokers. They're, you know, accountants or what have you. They're involved in the profession somewhat. So the constitutional movement, as far as we can see from our position, is not with the rednecks. And there's nothing wrong with the rednecks. Everyone, you know, has a right to his own venue, so to speak, and we don't disparage anyone. But the people who come to our seminars are really committed and concerned about what's going on in this nation, as we are. Yeah, so we do see the Constitution work, and we do see the Constitution as the instrument that we all should be using to advocate for our rights. And as Margie said a little while ago, if an American citizen does not know, claim, demand, and exercise and enforce his constitutional rights in this country, he has none.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more, Jack. I mean, it's what it boils down to is a mass awakening that needs to happen. For example, with Ron Paul, you know, he's been touting the Constitution of these debates, and people's eyes glaze over like they don't know. You know, he lives on the moon or something. Yes. We'll be back at three. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona, with my guests Jack and Margie Flynn. Got a lot more. Stick with us. Call your friends and neighbors, folks. A lot more to discuss.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants, like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
Are you concerned about cholesterol, blood pressure? Are you experiencing chest pain? Are you looking for a more natural method to help improve your health issues?
I had two mild heart attacks, and I had an 80 to 90% blockage in my artery. Don recommended I take this Cardiovite. I haven't had any chest pain since I've been on it. It's brought my cholesterol down. My blood sugar was really fluctuating from 10 to 14 when I went on the Cardiovite. You know, it really leveled it out. I'm really pleased, and I feel so good about it. I'll tell you, it's great for your circulation, because I've noticed that I've had problems with my feet because of the diabetes, and they're getting better. They don't hurt as much. It's really great. I recommend this to anybody.
To learn more, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com. That's heartdrop.com. Call 1-877-928-8822.
All right, we're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. Short segment coming up to the bottom of the hour with my special guests, Jack and Margie Flynn. And Jack and Margie, both, I want to ask you, I went to the break talking about the glazed-over, dumbed-down look that the audience would have with Ron Paul when he talks about the Constitution. And I notice, I'd like to get your take on, you know, all of these debates that Ron Paul participated in, got limited time in, up to this point, he would walk in and, you know, I could go downtown and see signs up all over the place in Scottsdale, Arizona about Ron Paul. I can look and see, you know, on the internet of the different meetup groups and the crowds that he draws when he speaks. Can you explain to me how it is or why it is that this gentleman supposedly scores so low in the polls or comes in fourth and fifth? Does that make any sense to you guys?
No, and if I may, I would offer just, again, this is my opinion, and I have no visible, demonstrable proof, but I have a number of thoughts on this. First of all, as far as I'm concerned, the election process in this country is really flawed.
Total fraud.
It's a fraud. It has been damaged. It has been infiltrated. I don't think we can trust not only a voting machine, but many of the people in the back rooms. That's one thing. I mean, if you look at the response that Ron Paul has gotten countrywide, when he appears to speak over the internet, what have you, his conference calls, et cetera, his meetup groups, there's a huge amount of enthusiasm for him. Yet when he goes on national television, he's treated as if he is the, you know, the mentally defective nephew that comes out once in a rare blue moon on a holiday. And I think we have to look at the fact that the so-called mainstream media has not only marginalized him, but they are successfully trivializing him. And, you know, they haven't quite gone to the demonizing. They're more with the kind of humiliation tactics because of the statements that he has made, which fly in the face of the system. And I think it's a sad, sad thing, and I wish that millions of Ron Paul supporters were calling and writing and emailing their local television stations and saying, we're never going to watch you again, nor will we buy any of the products that you advertise, no matter what they are, because we don't like the fact that you are suffocating Ron Paul and denying us access to the candidate of our choice. This needs to be done.
Go ahead, Michael.
No, I was going to ask you a question, but go ahead. If you want to respond to that, go ahead.
Yes. As far as I'm concerned, the entire American system from top to bottom is a total fraud, the entire system. Now, I'm talking about institutional systems, foundations, corporations of a large nature, the banking system within America, within the country called the United States of America. Okay? It's a total, complete fraud. The American people have been bamboozled from the very beginning, and it started with George Washington and has continued ever since with very, very few exceptions. The electoral system is a total fraud. I grew up in two political families, just to give you a little background. I'm from the Boston area. My people have been in the country since the early 1600s. Very Yankee on one side, very Irish on the other side, and they're both political families. And we can count pretty closely related, and some directly related, 12 presidents of the United States of America. And the only good ones were the Adams, okay? None of the others were good as far as I'm concerned, and these are members of my own family. My own family has been active in politics forever, and it's evil. The entire family is evil, okay? This is my own family, and I'm not proud to say it, but it's an example of the American political system. The people that theoretically represent the American people do not represent the American people. They represent evil, Satan, whatever you want to call it. Maggie and I are not religious people, but we're spiritual people. And We know right from wrong. We know good from bad. And we know that this system is entirely evil. And that's one of the problems with the American people. They're good people, but they haven't recognized the evil nature of their own government. And if good people support evil, what does that say about the good people? We're either part of the solution or we're part of the problem. And if we support the problem, then we are the problem. And that's what we have to stop. So there is no honesty in American politics. Don't expect it. And anyone who votes, I think, is extremely naive, okay? Now, if we were voting in a legitimate, honest system, I would applaud your vote. But when you vote or when anyone votes in a fraudulent system, you're just perpetuating the fraud. Now, as far as, just finish this point and let you take it from there, Michael, because I know you want to say something. But as far as Ron Paul is concerned, we've known of Ron Paul for a long, long time. Ron Paul is like a lot of politicians who says a lot and doesn't do much. Now, do I support what he says? Yes. Do I support what he has done? Yes, I do. But he has not made a big splash, okay? And as far as the American political system is concerned, he is what you call the token constitutionalist who was put on stage and exposed as a fraud by these mindless people, okay, who view him and don't understand the manipulation that is taking place with or without his support. Now, we have dealt with Ron Paul in the past, okay, and some of his people in the past, and we have given Ron Paul very solid constitutional positions, and one was to support the people you mentioned before, the Browns. And right. He said, this is one of the best things I've ever seen. I'll do something with it. He did absolutely nothing.
All right, let me stop you right there. We've got to take a break, Jack. We'll be back in three. Continue this. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, with my guests, Jack and Margie Flynn. Be right back, folks. Stick with us.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes 4 books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Hey, everybody, this is James Martinez from the Cash Flow Show. I want to ask you one question and one question only. You're ready to change your life. Now, as you begin to think about that question, how many of you are swimming in credit card debt, tired of credit cards controlling your life, behind on your payments, struggling to make ends meet, all that, worried about your financial well-being? You're going to end that now. Enough is enough. This is hot. Are you ready to feel good now? That's right. Call our toll-free number and listen to our 12-minute overview. It explains who we are and what we do to end your credit card debt. Leave your name and number after the message and do it today. Call 888-213-7655. That's 888-213-7655. Freedom is a phone call away. Away. Away for you to feel good now. 888-213-7655. 888-213-7655.
Listening to RBN has helped you to prepare for an emergency and invest in the gold and silver markets, but now you'd like help managing your other investments. Would you prefer personalized investment advice? Onesti Investment Advisors can help. Onesti Investment Advisors will customize a portfolio with no conflicts of interest. Onesti Investment Advisors is a fee-based firm. We do no underwriting and receive no commission, so we always look after your interest. The better you do, the better we do. Get diversification by investing in stocks, bonds, mutual funds, ETFs, and more. Onesti Investment Advisors can help fund education, plan for retirement, lower your taxes, increase retirement income, and protect against a falling dollar. You've worked hard for your assets. Former floor trader and certified financial planner certificate, John Onesti, has the experience to help grow your investments. If you're looking to improve your investment results, call or email for a free consultation. Onesti Investment Advisors, 505-296-2453. That's 505-296-2453. Click on our banner ad on RBN or visit our website at onestiadvisors.com. Onesti Investment Advisors, looking after your investments.
All right, we're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona, with my special guests, Jack and Margie Flynn. And before we went to break, you were talking about Ron Paul. Jack, I wanted to ask you, what you're saying is, in your mind, that basically they just allowed him to get up there so they could paint him as a tinfoil hat-wearing idiot, because obviously, you know, they downplayed him, they marginalized him, a lot of the audiences in some of these debates had no idea what he was talking about. Is this what you're saying, Jack?
Yeah, it's all image, okay? Mm-hmm. It's all image, it's all positioning, and it's all control. What the establishment wanted to do was show the American people that the American Constitution has no meaning or support in the general population. And they use Ron Paul basically as a stooge. And we had told him this some time ago, not directly, but through other people. And we had suggested that if he were going to take the position, he had to be strong. He had to be ferocious. He had to be like a lion. Michael, when we walk into court, we don't walk into court timid. We own that court. We control that court. We take charge of that court, okay? Ron Paul has not done that. Now, when the New Hampshire fiasco took place, and Ron, who I think is a very nice guy, I think he's very naive, but I think he's not naive as far as the Constitution is concerned. He's an expert, as far as I'm concerned, in the Constitution. He's naive in terms of dealing with the sharks. He has no idea with whom he's dealing. Okay, and this is a major problem for anyone who's good, who tries to deal with evil. unless you recognize the nature of evil, don't play with it, okay? So when Ron Paul lost in New Hampshire, and probably, I'm not going to say he won there, but I'm going to say he got a hell of a lot more votes.
I agree.
But we suggested certain things on a constitutional position again, and didn't get in touch with Ron Paul, didn't really have access to him, but had access to people who knew him directly and who have advised him, and the message came back to us, whether it's true or not true, that he did not want to take those constitutional positions and raise a problem because he would be looked at as, what, a spoiled sport, Margie? Was that the wording they used?
Yeah, in that respect, yeah.
Yeah, and that's not the way you play politics in this nation, okay? If you're going to take on the mantle, you have to be in it to win all the way. And the Ron Paul supporters have been supporting this guy, but he really hasn't been supporting himself, okay? And if you don't support yourself, you lose the respect of your support base. And that's beginning to happen with Ron Paul.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, you had mentioned something, Jack, a few minutes ago. You had made the statement that when you guys walk into court, you take charge of the court. And I've been hearing this now from other people, for example, Sam Kennedy, Ralph Winterode, and some mm-hmm. of these people have shows on the network, and maybe you're familiar with these people.
Oh, yeah. Sam is a good friend, and he's attended our seminars.
Well, and I wanted to bring this up because of late, over the last couple of months, I have a good listener in Eastern Oregon, Don, who had sent me a ream's worth of information regarding Sam Kennedy's materials. And I've gone through all of it, and then I put it aside, and I let it absorb a little bit, and I went back and I looked at it again. And as I dig through this, what I'm starting to see here, and I'm sure you're familiar with the whole idea, you know, with the bonds and so forth. What I'm starting to see here is it makes more sense than anything I've seen to date. And Margie, you know, I went into the website and I was reading your press release here, and I wanted to mention because this ties right into what I'm talking about here. You say that your friends and supporters may know that you filed your case against individuals who work for the machinery of government of the city of Las Vegas, New Mexico, and individuals who work for their insurer and the insurer itself. Now, here's what I want to ask you guys, okay? We're supposed to have, when we go into court, and you guys have done this many, many times by your own admission of 1-300 cases, when we go into court, we're supposed to have an unbiased judge that sits there and supposedly weighs the evidence and looks at the preponderance or a reasonable doubt if it's criminal or whatever. Mm-hmm. Okay, but if a city or state court or federal court, if you will, is corporatized, then does that not make the judge an employee?
Of course. Of course. And this is a point that I'm glad you brought out that a lot of people don't recognize, okay? Under the American Constitution, the Constitution of the United States of America, we have three designated branches of government. The third branch is the judicial branch that is supposed to operate under Article 3 of the Constitution. We no longer have a judicial branch that operates under Article 3 of the Constitution because it is a private corporation are a private business operating for profit, as is the federal government. The difference is that if one wants to go onto the various listing services, such as Dun & Bradstreet, he can type in the name of his friendly court and find out that that court, if it operates like most every other court in this country, is listed as a private corporation or a private business operating for profit. So, of course, it's a corporate court. The whole country is a fraud.
Right.
The country, the whole system.
So, go ahead.
We're guaranteed a Republican form of government under mm-hmm. Article 4, Section 4 of the Constitution. Republican form of government, I'm sure the vast majority, if not all of you listeners, know what that is. It is a form of government by which the government operates pursuant to the law and not to men. So we're looking at the law as governing the nation and not men governing the nation. And obviously the supreme law of this country is the Constitution of the United States of America. Well, we don't have Republican forms of government anywhere in this country that I know of, we have corporations.
Right.
And corporations are exclusionary and exclusive, and they exclude the citizen. Because the citizen is not part of the corporation, but the vast majority, I mean 99-point-something% of the American people, Michael, have no idea of this type of government.
So I, as I listen to you here, and Margie, I'm going to direct this question at you, because Jack just said a few minutes ago, when you guys walk into a courtroom, you own the court. Now I'm critically analyzing this with all the information that I've ingested, and I'm saying the reason that that is the case, and you guys correct me if I'm wrong, is because on the one hand, the judge takes his oath to uphold the Constitution, but on the other hand, there's a totally different shadow game going on that nobody's aware of, and what you're doing basically is you're putting the, for the record, in open court and holding his feet to the fire. Am I right?
You're right.
And we are exposing the fraud. For instance, let me give you an example of what we do, or any of our people do, when they walk into court, if they follow the methods. Now, the methods are extensive, but they're all constitutionally based. They're not Jack and Margie's methods. They're methods that are implicit in the Constitution that we have simply adapted to protect the rights of the American citizens. So I'll give you an example. And in our last seminar, in our Holyoke seminar in Massachusetts, we did some mock trials to show people how these systems work. So let's say we walk into the courtroom and the judge says to the United States Attorney, Mr. U.S. Attorney, are you ready to proceed? And he'll say, yes, Your Honor, the government's ready to proceed. Mr. Flynn, are you ready to proceed? The answer is no, sir. It's never Your Honor, okay? There are no titles of nobility in this nation. It's always sir or judge. No, sir, I'm not ready to proceed at this moment. There are a few matters I'd like to clarify before we continue. And he, every time, says, go right ahead. And I look him right in the eye and I say, sir, you and the United States Attorney have taken oaths of office to support and defend the Constitution of the United States of America and the state constitution. I make a statement. Then I'll ask the confirming question, is that correct? When he says yes, he's nailed right there. But I don't stop there. We go on. Sir, with all due respect, you and the U.S. Attorney are required to abide by those oaths and the performance of your official duties, especially those before this honorable court. Is that correct? When he says yes to that, we have converted that court from the administrative corporate court that it operates under as its usual custom, practice, and policy into an Article III judicial court operating under the Constitution. Now, we follow up and we say, We provide notice to the court as to who and what we are and why we appear before the court. We will say something like this. I appear before this court as a living, breathing, flesh and blood, natural-born, sovereign American citizen with and claiming all rights guaranteed to me in the federal and state constitutions and with my name only and lawfully and properly spelled and upper and lowercase letters. Then we'll pause for a few seconds, look around the room, and ask the confirming question. Is there any objection to what I just stated? If there's no objection to what we just stated, we've noted the court as to exactly who and what we are and how the procedure must take place from that point on. And we know enough about the Constitution to make certain that we hold the opposing attorney and the judge to their constitutional mandates. Now, we start this very initial, let me begin again. That's not how we start our situations. That's how we start our situations in court. But well before we ever go to court, anytime we have a problem with anyone, Michael, especially corporations, institutions, the government, cities, towns, whatever it is, what we do is notify the opponent of the problem we have in what we call presumptive letters. And a presumptive letter is simply a letter with a presumptive paragraph as paragraph one, and a presumptive paragraph as the last paragraph. And in the middle of the letter, we make all our charges, averments, accusations, statements, etc. And we basically state in the presumptive clauses that if our opponent fails to rebut these charges in writing to us within 30 days and support his rebuttal based on fact, law, and evidence, then he admits to everything contained in our letter, all charges, fully binding upon him in any court without his protest, objection, or that of those who represent him. Now, very few people write letters like that. Our groups do, okay? And we have groups all over the country writing letters like this now. If, in fact, we get no response to those letters, well, pursuant to the lawful warning contained in the letter, then the recipient has admitted to all of the charges, and not only admitted to all of the charges, but admitted to them, fully binding upon him in any court without his protest, objection, or that of those who represent him, meaning his lawyer. So what we do is invoke positions of estoppel because he has had every opportunity to rebut and refused to do so. Now, if there is no rebuttal in 30 days, we usually wait another 10 days and send the recipient an affidavit, and the affidavit basically consists of a few points. Number one, Mr. So-and-so, pursuant to my letter of such and such a date, this is to notify you that you failed to rebut anything contained in that letter. Therefore, pursuant to the lawful warning, you admitted to everything in that letter, fully binding, etc., etc. Number two, some, but not all, are, we basically say the following, but not limited to, statements are the following statements, but not limited to, only the following statements, are those to which you have admitted. And then if we've made, let's say, 20 statements in the letter, we'll list six or seven in the affidavit. And number three, we'll say, Mr. So-and-so, if you choose to rebut this affidavit with your own sworn and notarized affidavit, verifying your rebuttal based in fact, law, and evidence, please do so within 30 days. I've been doing this for 53 years. In that time, Michael, no one has ever rebutted with his own sworn and notarized affidavit simply because he can't. Margie and I are based in constitutional positions. We're based in the truth, fact, law, and evidence. And it's very difficult for anyone who opposes us to rebut the truth, fact, law, and evidence, and they don't. So after we do the the affidavit, we'll take the affidavit, if there's no response, and file it on the public record with the public or the county recorder. The county recorder, okay? Or the county clerk in some areas. And when you do that, you're making your documents public, okay, for everyone to see, and you're invoking Federal Rules of Evidence 902 and 201 and similar state rules, by which your affidavit is basically considered truth before the court and unrebuttable as such. So by the time we go to court, we've got our opponents admitting to everything we've ever said or every charge we've ever made, okay? So it's totally different from just going to court. We just don't go to court. We establish our foundation, and once we've established our constitutional foundation, that's when we go to court.
I see. Okay, well, that makes sense. Now this holds true. It doesn't make any difference what court, I would assume. It's federal, state court, doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't.
When you go into, for example, you know, in reading a lot of the print that was sent to me by Don up in Eastern Oregon, and a lot of the shows that I've listened to of Sam Kennedy, you know, they talk about presentments, and they talk about bonds. They talk about issuing a bond. You're familiar with that, right?
We don't ascribe to that, okay?
Okay.
Now, everyone, as I said earlier, everyone has his own opinion, his own presentation, and as constitutionalists, we allow anyone to say anything they want over our website. But we don't necessarily agree with all of those methods or opinions, okay? Sam is a very nice guy. He's an extremely intelligent guy. When we met him, he was pretty entrenched in statute and admiralty law and what have you. And he attended our seminar, 2 years ago now?
Yeah, almost that.
Yeah, in Massachusetts, and started adopting some constitutional positions in his work. I think Sam is a wonderful guy. I think he's a great American. I think he means well, and I think his methods are probably effective, and they probably work. But we're so constitutional that we don't get off the constitutional foundation.
Okay. Well, you had mentioned that you guys have won literally 300 cases, and the way that you win these cases is you basically set this foundation before you ever walk in there. So my question would be, and this would hold true not only to, well, from anything from a traffic ticket to an IRS summons or what?
Yeah. Yes, to almost anything. Okay, but I hear your music, so we can pick this up.
All right, well, hold that thought. Think about it for a few minutes, Jack, and you can give me the answer when we get back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona, with my special guests, Jack and Margie Flynn. Got a lot more to come, folks. Stick with us, and I'll open up the phone lines at the top of the hour, 800-313-9443. Be back in three. Stick with us.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
All right, we're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona, with my special guests, Jack and Margie Flynn. Before the break, I had mentioned this procedure will work for anything from a traffic ticket to an IRS summons. And but what it basically does is you want to back the judge into a corner and make sure for the record that he is indeed took an oath to uphold the Constitution, and therefore he cannot stray from it once he's been put on the record of that fact, right?
Yes. That's correct. That's exactly what we do. I mean, you know, using the terminology back into corner sounds, you know, aggressive. And nobody really wants to think of himself in that way, but unfortunately, because of the adversarial nature of court these days, and I mean that on all levels, you really do have to be prepared, and you have to go in there with the idea that you are the master, they are the servants, and you're going to hold them to whatever requirements they must operate under. And, of course, the key and fundamental part of that requirement is the oath.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now, Jack, you had mentioned when you were talking about this premise of going in there and making those statements before you proceed, one of them was the capital letters issue. And so it is true in your mind that they have basically, you know, put us, as all of us, as American citizens, as this, you know, fictitious corporate straw man? Is that,
yes, basically they have, okay? But they have no authority to do so. Remember, all constitutional authority must be a foundation for all acts of government. In other words, the Constitution delegates certain positions and authorities to government, and the government has no constitutional authority anywhere, granted or delegated in the Constitution, anywhere that I can find, that authorizes the government to commit fraud upon its own people. Remember, when the government deals with the American people, the government, number one, must deal lawfully with the American people. Number two, government officers must abide by their oaths and the performance of their official duties. And number three, the government can never willfully and with intent defraud the people as a custom, practice, and normal policy of the government. But that happens all the time. So what we do is expose that. Now, what I'd like Margie to do is continue here a little bit and talk about her situation to give you a prime practical example, both the original case you won, Margie. Well, Margie's won about six different cases herself alone, which mm-hmm. is pretty good.
I'll tell you, excuse me, before we do that, I want to mention one other thing, and then we'll give Margie the floor. Now, I had Judge Andrew Napolitano up on my show a couple weeks ago.
Oh, yes.
And what's interesting is right down towards the bottom of the hour, I had a caller called in, which I'm sure you know, Sherry Jackson.
Oh, yes.
And Sherry Jackson posed a question to Judge Napolitano about this corporate straw man thing. And it's very interesting because in Sherry's case as well as Irwin Schiff's case, the judges both said that they would not hear the Constitution in their courtroom. And Judge Napolitano sang and danced on that for about a minute in his answer and made a quick early exit. He hung up the phone.
I can imagine.
He is a big surprise. Yeah.
Now, that's not the only thing, but just the other day, okay, a very, very, very prominent constitutional tax attorney was up on another broadcast just last Friday, I believe.
Michael, let me just interrupt. There are no constitutional tax attorneys. They
okay.
don't exist.
Just the appearance thereof. Go ahead, Michael.
Okay,
ahead.
All right. At any rate, this attorney was on saying that there was the capital letters thing was total nonsense, and that he's defending a guy right now just over the same issue, and he's that argument doesn't fly in court. And after I watched the actions of Judge Napolitano, and after I listened to this diatribe that this particular very well-known attorney was putting out, I said, no, there's a lot more to it than that, because
they
wouldn't be going to such great lengths to hide it. Okay, we're going to go to the top of the hour break. We'll be back in 2 minutes with my special guest Jack and Margie Flynn. We'll let Margie go into her story about what's going on in her world regarding, I believe it's this lawsuit. So we'll be back in two. Stick with us, folks. Second hour coming up.
I can bring myself to do what it is.